Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful truths that we have learned today, but also the wonderful truths we've sung today. And what a pleasure it is to sing good godly hymns to the glory of your name. We thank you for that. Lord, as we come once again before your word, just bless us this afternoon, Lord, and that you'd receive the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, yeah, our message is coming from Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8. And you see a list there, and it's basically that's telling us who will spend eternity in hell. And it's a pretty confronting list there. And so far, we've established through the Word of God that hell does exist. That it's a real place. It has real degrees of punishment. And that punishment lasts for eternity. We also established that hell was originally created for Satan and his angels who followed him when they rebelled against the Most High God. But we also saw that through the scriptures that hell wasn't created for man. That man's rebellion against God in the Garden of Eden, it had to be punished. God has to be just. But God in his grace and his mercy offered man a remedy for his sin, and that was the sacrifice of his son to pay the penalty that we deserved. So man has a choice where to spend eternity. Man can accept by faith the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood and the finished work of the cross as the only means of salvation and have eternal life, or they can reject what Christ accomplished, that perfect sacrifice, and as we learned this morning, victory over death and the grave forever, and be tormented and face eternal punishment in hell. So, again, what does the Bible have to say about those who will go there? Well, verse 7 says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and they shall be my son." That's talking about the believer. That's us. That's where we stand. If you're here today, born again, you will overcome and inherit all things. But, there's that word, but again, the fearful, unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know, there's a lot of false teachings when it comes to where a soul goes after a person dies. And the two worst areas, for me anyway, is soul sleep and the annihilation of the wicked dead. Now, they're taught by the Jehovah's Witness, they're taught by the Christadelphians, the Seventh-day Adventists, Herbert Armstrong, the Plain Truth, taught those things. And they teach that hell's annihilation and it's not eternal. They say there's no eternal punishment for man because man has no conscious existence apart from the body he lives in after he dies. Now, for the life of me, I can't find any of that in the Word of God. And these errors started, though, back in the garden when Satan put them into the heart of man. Satan is a liar. He's the father of lies. And he would never suggest the truth of eternal life. Never. He would never even want people to know that if there is eternal life in heaven, then that must mean there's eternal damnation in hell. And he doesn't want people to know that. He doesn't want people to know if they reject God, that's their end. He just wants unbelievers to think, oh, well, you'll just be unconscious of death and that there's no life after death, so don't worry about it. He doesn't want people to understand and know there's eternal torments in hell. Now, soul sleep, that teaches physical death means the end of all consciousness until the body is resurrected. And we see that error based in the Old Testament scriptures of Psalm 88:10. It says, "Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and pray thee? Selah. Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness?" Psalm 115:17 says, "The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence." Isaiah 38, "For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth." Now the teachers of soul sleep, they use these verses to prove and try and prove when one leaves this life, the body, the soul and the spirit, they're unconscious until the resurrection. Now, when you study the Old Testament, there is not a lot about the future state of man's soul. Even Job, remember godly Job, he only had a glimpse of life after death, and God must have given him a special revelation. When you understand, Moses wrote Genesis and so forth in about 1400 BC, and Job's written supposedly in 1700 BC. So Job, he says, I know what? That my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. You know, Jesus said to the Jews, he said in John 8:56, he says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. The resurrection of Christ revealed to David. In Acts chapter 2, Peter quoted from Psalm 16. He said, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will they suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now, the Old Testament era really wasn't the time for a complete understanding of what happens at death. You know, God reserved that privilege for his son. In his death, burial, and resurrection, he brought down the gospel to man. He was the word who became flesh. He was the one who had the privilege given to him. 2 Timothy 1:10 tells us, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, people who teach the annihilation of the wicked dead say that born-again people will be in paradise, but the lost at the great white throne judgment are going to be wiped out forever. One group believe when a lost person dies, well, they just cease to exist. Another group teach that the lost souls sleep and then are destroyed after a judgment. You know, they base their teachings on Revelation 20:12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, they use words such as perish, John 3:15 and 16, and destroy. 2 Thessalonians 2:8 says everlasting destruction. You know, to understand the meaning of these words, you've got to look at them in their original language to understand that. And, you know, I'm no great scholar in those areas, so I just use reference books written by great scholars. And the word perish in John 3:16, illumine, means marred. Matthew 10:6, it's used to mean lost. It does not mean annihilation. 2 Thessalonians 2:8, when speaking of the Antichrist, that says that wicked, the words consume and destroy, cannot mean annihilation. Because in Revelation 19:20, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them, which had the mark of the beast, and then worshipped his image. These were both cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. In verse 10 of Revelation 20, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night for ever and ever. Ever and there's no annihilation. There's no death. That's it. Finished. The torment is for how long? Forever. It's not wiped out. Forever and ever. It's the same word that's used for God's existence, his own existence. Galatians 1:5, to whom, that's talking about God, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus said in Hebrews 1:8, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness, and is the scepter of thy kingdom. So the same word to describe eternal torment is the same word used to describe the eternal existence of God, which is forever and ever. That means what? Forever and ever. See, those who teach soul sleep and annihilation of the lost are by the word of God declared to be false prophets. They're teaching a false doctrine. It is a doctrine of hell. It comes from Satan, you know what? To damn the souls of men. And just as God has true ministers, Satan has false ministers. 2 Corinthians 11:13 described, and they said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. You know, what a truth those things are. So who's going to spend eternity in hell? Revelation 21:8. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burn with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All liars, it says there. Who here has never told a lie? Then that's a lie, isn't it? We've all told a lie. We all have. Man, the fish I caught was that big. We've all told lies. It's not talking about telling a lie. It's talking about people who live to tell lies. We've all told a lie. We have the answer. You know, that's the most complete list in one verse, in one chapter we have of those who are going to spend eternity in hell. And if you read 21, it also describes the new Jerusalem, the holy city where the bride of Christ, the church, will be. And they will live for how long? Forever and ever again. Now, Galatians 5, we've got three verses concerning those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 19, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings. That's not enough. Paul adds also there, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is talking about a habit of life, the way people live continually, the way they practice, people who practice these sins and show that that's their lifestyle, show they are in an unsaved condition. And if they don't get saved, they will die and spend eternity in hell. Now our text says the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. See, it's talking about people whose lives are characterized by these ways. That's the life they live. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire because they show themselves that they're unbelievers. Now, I was doing a study once. It was an Oliver B. Green study, and he talked about the neighborhood. So I borrowed his neighborhood thought about these people of verse 8 here. Now, when a person's planning to live in a home, any person with any idea whatsoever, you check out the neighbourhood, don't you? You drive around, you see what it's like at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you see what it's like maybe in the morning, you see what it's like if you're wise, you see what it's like late on a Saturday night to see who's roaming the streets, amen? And you just check it out. You want to see if it's a place you want to be. Is it a good neighbourhood for children to grow up in? Has it got good schools? Does it have a good church? Now, who would think of setting up their lives in an area full of the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, drunkards, whoremongers, sorcerers? Who would think of doing that? It'd be like setting up in a war zone. Yet when you think about it, millions upon millions of people are going headlong every day towards their forever and ever without taking time to consider where they're going to spend eternity. Psalm 90 verse 10. Now this is either very encouraging or a little bit discouraging, but it says the days of our years are 70, amen? So if you're over 70, you're on borrowed time.
Thank you.
There you go. And if by reason of strength they be 80, if you get to 80, yet is their strength labour and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So if you're 80, I apologise, but Yeah. Now, some go past that age. But I often ask people, tell me how many people you know over 85 or 86 that are still living. And when you get to 60, 85 is not far away, amen? That's how quick life goes. I didn't realise how quick life went past until I turned 60. And I read this verse and I thought, oh, there's not long to go. And my wife and I argue of who's going to go first. Because I want to go first, but she doesn't want to be left alone. And she wants to go first and I don't want to be on my own. But some go past that age. But you compare that with eternity. Compare the time you've spent on this earth with eternity. That's but a moment at best. You see the kids, don't they? Oh, we've got all week to wait for the weekend. You know, it was like Sunday a day ago, wasn't it? When you get older. But if we check out and plan where we're going to live now, while we're on this earth, so carefully, for such a short time, surely it must make real sense to make plans for the eternal home that everyone's going to face. Think about who your neighbour will be if you reject God's gift of eternal life. Just think of who you may have to spend eternity with. And as I borrow Oliver Green's word, the neighbourhood of the lost. Look at the first one we got there. Read it to me. What is it? Who's the first one? Verse 8. But the fearful. The fearful, that word means cowardly. Now, they were people who were too scared, too afraid of what might happen if they accepted Christ as their Savior. They didn't want to be Christian. They were afraid to identify themselves with the gospel and with the Christian community. They were the ones who were afraid of what others might think or say about them if they said they became a Christian. You ever been around someone who's always afraid? Every noise they jump. Every corner you turn, oh! What was that? At each unexpected noise or movement, they're jumping. And in fact, in general, they're nervous in any situation. And in spite of the fact these people are in a terrible situation, he or she, that they're not very good company. You know what the people are? They bring unrest to others. They can't get a good night's sleep. They never have a restful day. They cannot enjoy life. They're not the overcomers of verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Now, hell is feared with these people who were too scared, too fearful to accept Christ as their Savior. Now, don't you think the fear in hell will be a great deal worse than the fear we have on this earth, I can tell you. And these people rob other people of the joy of life. Who's the second group you can talk to me today?
Unbelieving.
The unbelieving. Every unbeliever after Adam till the last person who rejects Christ will be in hell. You can imagine what sort of neighbours they will be. Those without Christ, they disbelieve, they are untrustworthy, they do not accept the truth of God's word. They do not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. See, their will is the one they can constantly refuse. And they're the most numerous people on this earth today. They just refuse the gospel. And when they die, they're going to open their eyes in hell. There's no confidence that God is who he says he is. They're doubters. They doubt. They have suspicions about the truth. Now, John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And verse 5 says, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness, you know what it was? Comprehended it not. They didn't want to know. They failed to take it. They didn't grasp hold of it. They didn't want to seize upon the truth. They wouldn't accept the truth. That Jesus said, on the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 7 said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen me. Next, who's next on the list?
The abominable.
That's the ones. Webster's dictionary defines abominable as very hateful, detestable, loathsome, odious to the mind, and offensive to the senses. Well, that was enough to shut the book. I'm thinking, only three times that word is used in the New Testament, and it means to be stinking disgusting. And the abominable are stinking, disgusting people. That's what it's telling us. Who care about no one or anything. They have no goodness in them at all. And everyone who in that state has died or will die without Christ will drop straight into hell, and they'll be someone's neighbour. And every person with that type of character who has ever lived and died will be a neighbour in hell to the lost. You think about those in hell, who in there? The saddest, the perverts, the sickos, every ungodly person who has ever died will remain in hell for eternity. What's the next one?
Murderers.
The murderers. This is a great neighbourhood, isn't it? And murderers. Who would like to live in a street where everyone was a murderer?
Not me.
No, not me either. I've heard some interviews with it. Anyone remember an interviewer by the name of Mike Willisey?
Yes.
He asked the murderer a question. He says, how do you feel about the people you killed? And the murderer, he said, I don't care. I don't feel anything. They deserved it. That's his exact words. He asked another who was had life behind bars without release. He said, it doesn't bother me who I killed. He says, I've got plenty of books to read and a basketball court to play on. See, jail does not fit the description of hell. You know, there's two games played in hell. There's only two. It's called weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's the only sport you're going to have. And those who go there will live eternally. Think about this. They'll be right next door to Judas. You'll have the likes of Hitler up the road. Pol Pot, Idi Amin, those who have caused genocide through Africa, China, Cambodia, the drug lords of South America, and so on. They'll all be in the same neighborhood. Who's the next one?
Whoremongers.
What a horrible word that is. Whoremongers. Anyone know what the Greek word is? Pornos. Well, we can understand where that goes. It's a word used for a fornicator or a prostitute, male or female. We can talk about these things. We should be able to, amen. Because it's church, we need to know. Men and women who sell their bodies to men and women in lustful fulfillments. Men and women who practice intimacy outside the bonds of marriage. That's not a nice word. It sounds even terrible to say the word. And for those who are morally clean, they don't like it either. There are many people morally clean in this world, especially lady folk. And even though they're not born again, and I want to stress this, that the point is it doesn't matter how clean and how moral a person is, how well they have been brought up. If they die without Christ, they're going to spend eternity in the company of these people. Think about it. For how long? Forever and ever. Who's next?
Sorcerers.
They're named among those who have their place in hell. They practice witchcraft, using power gained under the control of demons. And we're going to look at that as we go along through these messages. They take part in communing with the evil spirits of another world. You know, you see these shows sometimes on TV, people talking to people in another world and getting messages back to their loved ones. People either think it's a joke or they believe it. Let me tell you something, it's real. Demons are communing with people, trying to give them a false impression of what is real concerning heaven and hell. These people aren't fools or freaks, and whether they realise it or not, they are under the control and sway of evil powers. They play games with boards, they read tarot cards, they mess around with horoscopes. You know, under the law, Exodus 22:18, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Simple, isn't it? Deuteronomy 18:10, there shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or daughter to pass observers of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consultant with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. See, this all comes down to one thing, and that's the worship of the devil. And those who are going to reject God's way of salvation are going to spend eternity next to these people. Who's next?
Idolaters.
Those who worship other gods are idolaters. Great men who makes gods of their business, gods of their homes, gods of money. They turn their wife or their husband into gods, their children into gods, their friends into gods, whatever. All idolaters will be in hell. You've got those who worship the moon, the sun, snakes, monkeys. Can you imagine living next to somebody like that forever and ever? You will if you die without Christ. If you're not saved by his grace and washed in his blood. Who's the next?
All liars.
The worst group of all, probably. And I say that, and I'll give you a Bible answer for that. John 8:44. You are of the father, the devil, or your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. See, the devil is the father of all lies. And so being, he's the father of all liars. All liars who died without accepting Christ as their Saviour are already in hell or will go to hell. See, you can keep an eye on a thief. You can lock away your valuables and prevent a thief from stealing them. But what can you do about a liar? You know that a liar can destroy the reputation of young women? I worked at a place once, it was a big garden, and some young men had written some terrible things about a young girl, and the mother was beside herself, and we had to scrub it down and rub it off and get it off. Just lies. Can destroy a young man's reputation. An older man, an older woman. See, a liar can destroy the reputation of a pastor, a church. And they can cause more trouble with a few words than a lifetime can fix. And if a person dies without Christ as a liar, without their Saviour, they will open their eyes in hell. Who's the next on the list? You've got to go to verse 10 for that. Revelation 20:10. Sorry, go back a chapter. There, because it's on the same page for me. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The worst neighbor of all will be in hell, the devil himself. And all through every second of eternal hell, he's going to be reminding lost people, tormenting them, saying, if you hadn't have listened to me, you wouldn't have been here. You need not have come here. They could have been saved by simply trusting Jesus as their Savior. Now, it's not hard to imagine a murderer, a sorcerer, an idolater, a reveler, and so forth going to hell. But you know what the real sad truth, and I was talking about it with a few people today, is that many good, upright, hard-working mums and dads and young people are also going to go there. They do nothing really wrong. They aren't in the list of Galatians 5. They're not in this verse either. The only thing they haven't done is taken the time to get right with God. That's all they fail to do. And if they don't take time to do so before they die, it'll be too late. Now, do we have a home in heaven? Are we children of God? Jesus is preparing a place for all who will trust him as Savior. John 14:2 said, "My Father's house are how many mansions?
Many.
Many. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus isn't a lie. He's only going to give us the truth because he is the truth. I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." See, the choice is up to the person. It's an individual choice. No one else can make the choice for you or me. We have to make it ourselves. And the choice is, will we spend eternity with Jesus, or are we going to go with the devil and his mind? The place that wasn't originally prepared for man, but only for the devil and his angels. You know that sometimes things happen what we say by accident, but people do not get to heaven by accident. It's a prepared place for prepared people, and unless we're prepared, we won't go there. And if a person's not a saved person, listen, Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." We're going to open our ears to what the Lord's saying. "Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, I don't know who's listening this morning, but there's the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. There's something at work. You just can't quite lay your finger on it. Maybe God's calling you to put your trust in him. Do it before it's too late. How often have I been in church all my life? Matthew 25:1-13 speaks of 10 virgins all waiting for the day the bridegroom was going to come and take his bride home. And this is a type of Jesus coming for his bride, the born again. All 10 are dressed the same. They all look the same. They're all waiting the same. They all had lamps the same. But only 5 had prepared properly. Only 5 had their lamps full of oil. Verses 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. The wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." And all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." And verse 10, it says, "While they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" There's a day he's going to, one day it's going to be too late for people. And the Lord's going to say, "Sorry, I never knew you. Too late." But if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've received him in your heart through faith, if you accept the gracious gift of God, he will forgive your sins, he will save you straight away, and you will not have to spend eternity living next to these wretched people. You can claim his promise before it's too late. What's the promise? John 6:37. "All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." What do we want to hear at the end? too late, or well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. What a great God we have has given us salvation freely. A gift, but a gift must be accepted, not earned. Accepted. Who will go to hell? The fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. While a person is breathing, they have the opportunity to put all that behind them, to be washed white in the blood of the Lamb. But if you die in those states, they will most definitely spend eternity in hell. Praise God for our salvation. All people said?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the bare truth of your word. We thank you, Lord, for those who shared the gospel with us. And Lord, give us the strength, the courage, and the commitment to share the gospel with others before it is too late. Father, we thank you for such a simple text that teaches us, Lord, the difference between what is lost and what is saved. Father, we cannot be perfect in everything, but Lord, we can be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And Father, we pray and thank you for the salvation we have. And Lord, we pray that we give a message to all we come in contact with as you lead us and guide us, that we be ready, pens of a ready writer, ready to give out the gospel. Father, we love you and thank you for all that you have done for us. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.